News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What's going on, Dan and Dalton? 8:07 on Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. Tonight you got the NFL draft, so people will be... Dalton has been plotting and planning for the Tennessee Titans for about 6 months and what they're going to do in the draft. He is waist deep in draft information as he gets ready for his team to make a pick. Fourth pick?
Yeah, fourth pick.
Okay.
We shall see. Also, you know, tonight it's expected that Alabama will continue their run of multiple first round picks. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the question, right? Is will it just be Caden Proctor that goes in round one? Or will Ty Simpson join him? Now, the last time Alabama did not have multiple first-round picks was 2016. I think that was the year Ryan Kelly went to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So that's how long they've had multiple first-round picks.
Pretty impressive.
10 years now.
Yeah.
There's also a chance, and I think it's a slight chance, but the teams don't see Caden Proctor the way that a lot of the media do. Is it possible Alabama doesn't have a first-round pick?
I don't know. If Proctor's the guy that you're banking on to be the first round pick, I would think there's enough questions about it. I don't know how the gentleman gets on a plane. That's how big he is. So he flies in from Iowa. I'm here to block somebody. Okay, we can give you some pads and a jersey.
Didn't he go back to Iowa and
then back
to Bama?
He did. When Saban retired, I think he went back to Iowa, was going to go to school there, but then rethought it and was back by the spring in Alabama. I'm not sure everybody is high on him as a number one pick. So,
as a first rounder, yeah.
And Simpson, you know, I think part of what Simpson last year, which was maybe they're talking about it now, but I think it was highly unreported at the time. He was hurt by the end of the year. He was beat up.
He was definitely banged up.
They had no running game, so that was a tough gig for him last year because it was all on him.
Mm-hmm.
No running game at all. So, does Ty Simpson end up in the first round? We'll find out.
Yeah, and then Jeremy expected to go round two at some point. Yep. And then for Auburn, you're looking at Keldrick Falk and how high he goes. Most have him late first round.
Edge rusher. Yeah.
And those are always at a premium. So should be fun. I know Saints fans, they're hoping for some help too. They're picking eighth. A lot of them, they're in a similar situation as the Titans. They want to give their young quarterback some help, Tyler Shuck. So will they get receiver with Carnell Tate or maybe Jordan Tyson? Will they go back D-line with Cam Jordan now gone? Maybe Reuben Bain?
Is Jordan gone?
I believe so, yeah.
Is he retired?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
One of you Saints fans can tell me if I'm wrong.
I mean, he's had like a 13-year career or something. I mean, he's been
incredible.
Long time.
Absolutely incredible. Or they may go with that LSU cornerback, which the Saints love to do. We've seen in the past. So it should be fun. And then also a lot of you talking about the DeBoer extension. Seems a majority of Alabama fans aren't excited about it.
Well, we just kind of threw it out there. You know, when you said, hey, in the sports, I guess one of our first sports reports this morning, it was like, yeah, okay, he's getting an extension. All right. Not exactly sure why, but okay. And a $2 million per year raise. And I'm just thinking, what exactly has he done for Alabama fans to think that's a good idea? And most of them are replying on the text line, we don't think he's done that. He's being rewarded for what? And the only thing I can think of, and it was mentioned on the Feinbaum show yesterday, that maybe he was being rewarded for kind of behind the scenes. He silently
ducked
out of the Michigan job and saved them from having to perform another coach search. And maybe that's a thank you about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I've got nothing against it. I think DeBoer's a great dude. But he's 20-8 in 2 years. That's not at Bama. That's not at the winning level that Bama's used to. Yeah.
Yeah. And we may get to some more of those texts about DeBoer, but we have a lot of news to get to as well. And thank you, Rick. And we've been hearing it from our news update with Shimani Baker, just an absolutely tragic story. Highway 43 again. Remember, 43 is where that awful 18-wheeler accident was. Was that last summer or maybe two ago now, where you had those cars stopped at the red light there next to or in Thomasville on 43? Yeah. It was right outside of Thomasville.
Yeah.
And that was a terrible tragedy. Well, then yesterday you had this police officer, 25 years old.
Former Marine.
Dallas Hinton, and he'd been on the force for about 2 years. I guess he had clocked out. He was heading home.
Wow.
And slammed into the back of a commercial trailer, and this happened on 43. He was engaged to be married, just a terrible, terrible tragedy, and that's a small community. I've talked about it plenty before. Rick says, as the escort will, let me read from the top, actually. Yeah. That police officer in Thomasville is having an autopsy this morning, and then will be escorted back to the funeral home in Thomasville. They will travel on 43. Please ask your listeners to please stop and get out of their vehicles and salute this caravan later this morning. Thanks from a former law enforcement officer, and says, as the escort will travel through various jurisdictions back home, I wish the state troopers and or the sheriff's office would be the primary escort back to Thomasville. So appreciate that text, Rick, and that's certainly something that if you happen to be in that area as the caravan's traveling by, show it some respect.
So they're still investigating exactly what happened. He ended up hitting the back of this tractor trailer. As was the case last summer, I would like to know who the truck driver was and if he was at fault at all, or if he should have even been behind the wheel. I mean, I hate to say that, but we've seen situation after situation where suddenly the guy gets out of the truck and he's from India or Germany.
Yeah.
Or
Ukraine.
Ukraine
was the case for that one, yeah.
Right, and really should not be behind the wheel of any vehicle in the United States, let alone an 18-wheeler. So I don't know, but I would like to find out more about that investigation. And when those facts come out, we can all know better exactly what happened.
And this is a little different, though, and we don't know. Like you said, who knows exactly how it happened. But he was the one who ran into...
I understand that, but you're going to investigate it. Maybe there was something... That seems pretty unusual for a gentleman who drives a cop car for a living to just run up on a tractor trailer. So I want to know if that driver had any culpability in this and exactly who it was.
I've also thought about some of these jobs, and they work long shifts and very high stress situations, like law enforcement or medical workers. I mean, the list can go on and on. Sorry if I'm leaving some out there, but going home after some of those big shifts, oh man, it must be tough keeping it, staying awake, staying aware.
Yeah,
it's really tough. That show on HBO, The Pit, which I really enjoyed season one. Season two kind of jumped the old liberal shark. It was all about ICE and government funding and stuff. So I think it really took a step back this year. But I was just thinking about that. One of those episodes, you know, they work these long shifts. And then after that, it's like, all right, time to go home, time to drive, which is dangerous in itself. So, we talk often about these high-stress jobs, public service, and how difficult they are. So just keep the family of the 25-year-old former Marine, Officer Dallas Hinton, in your prayers today.
By the way, Troy Fan on the text line says, Highway 43 is the, in all caps, only road that spooks me. 43? Okay. 45, of course. We know that how treacherous that is between here and Citronelle.
Yeah, you know, I used to drive 43 all the time. This sound like an amateur to some of you who are out there every day, but when I would travel back and forth from my hometown up there, Grove Hill, I haven't been on 43 in a long time. But for me, I wasn't ever... 43 didn't really spook me that much. There was a stretch in my late high school years where I got pulled over riding with a buddy. We got hit speeding between Grove Hill and Jackson, and then the very next day, I got a speeding ticket in the exact same location.
No kidding.
So I always take it easy through that stretch. But let's pray for that family. Absolutely tragic. As far as the war in Iran, looks like Trump is pretty settled, at least as of now, on the blockade being the way out of this mess. He said there's no reason to take it off. He thinks that Iran fears that more than they do the bombings. And it almost seems to me like we're trading ships, because yesterday morning, which happened overnight before we got on the air yesterday, you had Iran firing on
three.
Started with two ships that they brought into their port and then fired on a third ship. Just so happened that yesterday we seized and moved three ships that were in the – let me see. I have it right here. We took two ships. I think they were in the Pacific, in the South Pacific, maybe here. Let's see. And so they fired on a third ship, stopped it in the water separately. That's the IRGC. And then, yeah, I guess I don't have the update on the ones we took. But it almost seems to me, and we have another one this morning.
More the drug boats you're talking about?
No, not the drug boats, but actually sanctioned vessels that are carrying often Iranian oil. Like today, the Defense Department announced it boarded a sanctioned stateless vessel in the Indian Ocean overnight. And it was carrying oil from Iran. Earlier this week, the U.S. Defense Department boarded another stateless vessel, which had been sanctioned for transporting Iranian oil. So it's like, okay, you're going to take three ships that are coming through the strait, then we're going to take three of your ships. It's from my amateur view, looks like that's what's happening right
playing
now.
Playing the board game Stratego or whatever it is. I think that at this point, again, we talked about this yesterday and your thoughts on the text line. And of course, your opinion can change from day to day. I get that. But it seems to me that Iran's playing all the cards in terms of trying to wait things out, trying to wait for the 60-day
war powers resolution vote.
For that to show up in next week. They're waiting for pressure on Trump with the midterms. It seems like it's more of a waiting game than anything else, and he feels like that if it is $500 million a day costing Iran, what he said, you know, at what point is that such a pain to them that they've got to, you know, they've got to concede? I don't know.
And didn't you have the report yesterday that now you have members of the IRGC who are going without pay, right?
Yes.
And that could cause some more dissension in the ranks.
Yeah. So you have dissension in the first place. You have the hierarchy, of course, decapitated. Now you've got all these second teamers who are running the place, and there's dissent among them on what the right path is. The Ayatollah is pretty much, if he's alive, has pretty much been moved out of any kind of strategy at all. He's not even involved in any of the conversations whatsoever.
And then while there's dissension in the IRGC ranks, we still have some of our own in the U.S.
Yes,
military.
We do.
And that big announcement yesterday that came initially from the Pentagon, it sounded like a mutual kind of resignation with Navy Secretary John Phelan. But the Wall Street Journal, and I'm sure the president will push back on that, he has not been happy with the WSJ's coverage. They're saying that it wasn't so voluntary. They report that Phelan was fired after months of tension with Secretary of War Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
They said that stemmed in part from Phelan's habit of going directly to the president on major decisions and bypassing Hegseth, including pitching a modern battleship idea to Trump last fall without looping in Hegseth first. And the Wall Street Journal reports that the Pentagon had been working to sideline the Navy Secretary ever since. And that announcement yesterday came just a day after Phelan addressed sailors and industry leaders at the Navy's biggest conference of the year. And it was the same day yesterday that the Pentagon unveiled a $65.8 billion shipbuilding budget request. Now you have Navy Undersecretary Hung Cao, who will serve as acting secretary.
Yeah, and it seems to line up and make sense that Hegseth waited till after the events of yesterday, after the
big conference
announcement, the conference and all that. He just kind of waited till all that procession was over with to make the move. But it looks like Hegseth doesn't have a whole lot of love lost for that guy.
No, it certainly doesn't seem so. And there's been, you know, several that have been jettisoned from the U.S. military ranks since this war began. I'm sure the stories that'll be told after all this is over.
Oh, the books are coming out.
Yeah, and pretty entertaining about why and how, and you know how much pushback are these guys that have been let go. How much are they pushing back against the actions we've taken against Iran?
Yeah, the action against Iran and just the personality of Hegseth. And this guy's book is probably halfway written at this point.
Yeah. And he's already booking the tour, right?
Yeah, it's CNN. He'll be on CNN by June the 1st, I guess, if he can write it as quickly as who the guy that wrote the book about Biden out of the blue, like, oh, we didn't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they came up with a book in
Tapper.
Yeah, Tapper. In 2 months, he comes up with a book. 821 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Dan and Dalton, that text line is open. 251-343-0106.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
What's going on? 826 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. And we'll talk with Rob Holbert with Lanyap coming up in the next 10 minutes. We'll start that conversation with him. And you pointed out to me, look, I've got Lanyap pulled up here. And who knew that Moz, for whatever you think of Moz, good, bad, or whatever, they've got a cute little mascot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've learned about Willie Water.
He's a raindrop wearing a white visor. So he looks like one of those creatures that you would see at a ballpark, like the Philly Fanatic or something like that. Not as creative, actually, I'll be honest with you, because it's just a raindrop with a visor.
Yeah, and hands. He doesn't have arms, just hands.
So you have a deformed raindrop with a visor. I don't know how you get the visor on his head because he has no arms. So somebody had to place it there, and his name is Willie Water. Again, I've got to give him a D-minus for creativity with the name.
Yeah. Yeah, why not call it Wet Willie, right?
Sure.
Mine as well.
Yeah, maybe some lawyers would be involved if you told them Wet Willie.
Willie Water. Now, you know how teams will have like a male and female mascot?
Yeah.
Willie Water looks like a nice, clean, blue drop of water. Do we have an alternative mascot that's like sewage overflow? Maybe like a brown water Willie? I don't know.
I don't want to know what that mascot looks like.
But that's
Sally Sludge.
It seems like we've come to a conclusion of sorts with Big Creek Lake, and that's why Willie Water was out and about with a fishing pole in his hand yesterday.
All this hand-wringing and arguing and back and forth, and suddenly, bang, it's over? Like, that's the settlement? That's it?
Yeah, so the settlement was made between Moz and the ADCNR, and that lawsuit was filed once the commish for ADCNR started speaking up and siding with the people that use Big Creek Lake and have for generations to go out and fish and boat and all those great things, Chris Blankenship. That's where the settlement came in, but I still don't think they've answered the question as to whether it is a navigable public waterway and whether a utility can just take it and say no.
Well, there's arguments on the other side, obviously, very passionate arguments on the other side for the use of Big Creek Lake like it was used in the past. And among those are, you know, pretty heavy hitters too, like Shane Stringer, you know, who's an elected official and in law enforcement. And so he's like saying, wait, I can't imagine it. He just took his ball and went home, and that's that. We've settled all this now, but again, compromises are rarely 50-50, and this one doesn't appear to be even close to that.
No, and they'll say that it is, right? You can get out and you can rent a boat. You can bring your kayak as long as you clean it off.
But you can't bring your boat. You got to go through, and there's 2 days a week where you can't even be out there at all.
Yeah, Mondays and Tuesdays they'll close for, I guess, cleanup. And then the other local story that's been drawing a ton of commentary on the text line this morning. We'll have Rob Holbert on. He'll talk about this with us as well. What exactly is going on at the Mobile Airport Authority and with these two executive directors seeing their way out over these last couple of years? Mm-hmm. Andy Wilson more recently, Chris Curry previously back in October of 2024. Yesterday at the Mobile Airport Authority meeting, they were talking about whistleblower protections and making sure those are properly in place. And they will actually bring down a governance consultant from Nova Scotia who previously worked with the authority just to make sure that they are in line, their standards for whistleblowing and things of that nature, that they're in line with state and federal standards. And then they did confirm that the airport won't be officially open until early next year. We should get a hard date on that next month. And it should come in right at their final agreed to budget of $381 million once it's all said and done.
And how exactly is that transition going to work from out west to near downtown?
I'd like to see a time-lapse video on that, huh?
No kidding.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 835, text line 251-343-0106. Pretty active today, hasn't it?
It's been very active. A lot of different conversations we're having here, whether it's about the NFL draft tonight, the Kalen DeBoer extension on the sports front, but also have the ongoing war, and then a ton of local and statewide issues we've been covering, and Lanyap does a better job of that than anybody as far as keeping us updated on what's happening around the area. And Rob Holbert is the leader of that team, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Rob.
guys. How are y'all this morning?
Hey, we're doing fine. Great. And some housekeeping, I guess, as Sean likes to put it, when he's before he gets into the real information here. But we'll know who the Nappy finalists are, I guess, by this afternoon, right?
It's coming, not this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
We still got a little bit of time yet.
Okay.
You're jumping the gun a little bit. Don't get too excited.
It's Christmas morning for me, so I'm very excited about
it's still coming. We had a little time left on that.
I'm picturing in like maybe 2 years we fill out the new Mobile Arena for the Nappy Awards completely.
That would be the full idea. Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be cool. So a lot that you've been covering, and why don't we get to the story first? That and you had a discussion with Sean about it earlier this week, but you've been following this Mabel Amos scholarship fund and public service, or I guess it's ethics committee, controversy for years, and that story took yet another turn here late, I guess it was last week, that we had the main character step out of the ethics committee.
Yeah, we've been on it for 5 years, so it's been, I feel like it's like the major, it's like my white whale of my career here. Yeah. I don't know, it's going on forever. Tom Albritton, who's the executive director of the Alabama Ethics Commission, he resigned from the Mabel Amos Memorial Fund, which is a charitable trust. His kids got $135,000 out of this charity to go to school for scholarship money, and that's been the primary issue here, or the start of it all was that. There's been a lawsuit going on for 4 years, and finally the judge appointed new board members to the fund, and Tom Albritton resigned.
Hmm.
And so he's off of it. But, you know, we called the other members of the Ethics Commission. So the commission is five members that are appointed by the governor and the Speaker of the House and President Pro Tem of the Senate. And they oversee the Ethics Commission, the executive director. He works for them. So we called them and just asked them, you know, hey, what do you think about him resigning? And they went, what? What are you talking about? they played Sergeant Schultz on us and went, kind of, I know nothing, and which is kind of amazing. I mean, some of them are new, and I get that they're new, but this has been going on for years, and you would think at the very minimum you might Google the Ethics Commission if you're thinking about going to be a commissioner, but the chairman of the commission, a guy named David Dodd, his brother, Alan Dodd, was representative Steve Marshall in the lawsuit for 2 years. So there's no way he doesn't know. He's his law partner in a three-man law firm, and his brother. So he obviously knows. So, the concept that the people on the board don't know is a little silly, I think.
Yeah, that's absurd. It's almost
dubious.
Like,
let's say it's dubious.
So he's and you mentioned the Ethics Commission. Now, this they didn't have seats filled for years, and they finally did after you guys had been reporting on it for some time.
They couldn't find anybody ethical.
I guess that was more the case. Yeah,
more than 3 years it went with two seats empty on it. And when we first wrote about what was going on in the commission, I think there were two empty seats and two seats that were expired. And then, and Ivy is by law required to fill those things, but she didn't do it for over 3 years.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that they finally filled the seats right here before she leaves office. And right before he resigns from the board. I don't know if those things are intertwined or not, but we'll see.
Well, Rob, I mean, according to the Cook Political Report, Governor Ivey is one of the most popular governors in the entire nation. So,
there's no question.
Yeah. Well, that's how you get away with stuff like that. Nobody cares. Nobody throws a flag. Only Rob.
We have a problem in this state. Here's an ideal issue. She doesn't follow the law, but there's no ethics commission to do anything about it because they're not going to do anything. The attorney general is not going to do anything. He doesn't do anything. So the only people in the state that hold people's feet to the fire and politicians' feet to the fire in terms of ethical behavior or illegal behavior are the Attorney General and the Ethics Commission, and they're both super compromised in this story itself, this one thing. So
Albritton, he remains on. He's still the executive director of the Ethics Commission. He just stepped out from the Mabel Amos Memorial Fund.
That's correct. Yes, he is still the executive director of the Ethics Commission. Okay. So this guy who is accused of self-dealing and fraud by the Attorney General, who accused him of that, is the head of the Ethics Commission. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Another big local story, and Dan and I were talking about the just the amazing mascot that Maws trotted out yesterday to Big Creek Lake.
Well, even more amazing name, Willie Water.
Willie Water.
The focus group that came up with that one.
Yeah, he was right next to Bud McCrory as they talked about opening the lake to recreational fishing today. Of course, it'll look differently than it ever has in its history. You'll have to rent the boats that you want, or if you have your kayak, have to rinse it off. It won't be open on Mondays and Tuesdays for maintenance. But with that settlement between Maws and the ADCNR, it's almost like they're saying this is a done story, but our listeners definitely don't think that's the case. I mean, did they ever even decide whether or not it is a navigable public waterway or not, or is that still a question that's hanging out there?
Well, from what I understand, the deal is this agreement allowed them not to have to make that decision. Hmm. So they essentially, Maws has leased the land underneath the lake. So it's not an issue of it being a navigable body of water any longer is the gist of it. So, the state didn't have to decide that you couldn't, whether it was navigable or not, and now Maws has it. The question that, I see people online saying, we're going fishing there this weekend in our boats.
Hmm.
And like, okay, well, if they do, are they trespassing again? I don't know that this has solved that issue at all.
No.
It doesn't seem like it. It seems to me like there's just going to be more confrontation. I don't know who's going to patrol the thing and make sure. Maybe Water Willie will do it. I don't know. Maybe he'll be out there with a shotgun. I don't know.
I would recommend. So here's what's ironic about Willie Water or whatever his name is, because he's very friendly and he's a little raindrop and he wears a visor and he has no arms.
He's a big raindrop as far as raindrops
go. He's a big raindrop. So that's one side of Maws. My side of Maws, my last interaction with Maws was trying to get to the bottom of a bill, going up to Moffett Road and having a security guard nearly chase me off the property. So it's like, where's Willie Water when you need him?
Well, he's busy. It's going to be interesting to see what occurs with this. I feel like conflict is definitely coming.
I agree.
I don't know that this is going to change anything. If the lake is closed on certain days and people want to go fish on certain days and they think it's an open, navigable body of water and it's their perfect right to go do it, I don't know. And if they say, hey, you've got to rent a boat, and they say, I don't want to rent a boat, which is what they've been saying, it doesn't seem to me like it's resolved the issue. It may have resolved a legal issue in terms of whether the state is going to declare this a navigable body of water or not, but if people are out there fishing in their boats, Maws doesn't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens next?
Yeah, I agree with you. Maybe it's resolved the legal issue, I guess you would say the cultural issue or whatever, out there where people for decades have been doing as they please on that lake. Suddenly, that's over with. You can't. Now, you can in some circumstances if you follow our rules. I just don't see that. If that was your lifestyle, I don't see that flying at all, Rob.
No, I think you're just going to have... there's going to be conflict. It seems like people are willing to go out there and, at least the comments I've read under our stories are, hey, we're going fishing this weekend. We're going out on our boat.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how long it's going to be before they have this same issue again.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't make Willie sad.
But yeah. By the way, I love the comments under the stories now, too. And I can't wait. You speak of conflict, the WrestleMania death match between
Water Willie and Sally the Giant Salvinia next WrestleMania. I can't wait for that one.
Also, Rob, one thing that we're talking about is this with the airport, the Mobile Airport Authority reviewing measures to, I don't know, ensure that proper protections over whistleblowers. So
a lot of smoke there, too.
There's a lot of smoke there. And so what do you make of all this?
I think it's just they're looking at some, I think all this stuff goes back to there were issues when Chris Curry was there. It looks like there were things that when he took a big trip to China and there were a lot of changes that came after that. And it's still, you know, Scott Johnson has done a lot of stories on this and trying to get to the bottom of it. None of it is very clear at this point.
Right.
But, you know, obviously there's some feelings that there were some inadequacies in that because they made some rule changes about travel, things along those lines. You know, I don't know exactly what the whistleblower situation is in terms of what they feel like needed to change about that. I mean, there's some pretty specific laws about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it does make you wonder. For sure.
Yeah. Well, they're wondering on the text line for sure this morning.
Yeah, they definitely are. And then you also in that board meeting, they confirmed what you guys have been reporting and what's been said these last few weeks. Doesn't look like downtown, the Mobile International Airport, will actually be opening until early next year. And they say the government shutdown with TSA playing a role in that. And also even getting equipment from overseas, I guess baggage handling equipment, that's delaying things. And former Mayor Sandy Stimson says it's right on their final agreed-to budget of around $381 million when it's all said and done.
Yeah, he says it's on budget, and I think that's a good thing. Obviously, there's been some fairly big delays. I believe the first time we reported on it, the airport was going to open in 2024. So it's pretty far behind schedule. And I think that's some of the stuff you've seen here. You know, I don't know that for a fact, but it just seems you've had some leadership changes there. I feel like, you know, it feels like Sandy's kind of been brought in to kind of corral everything and get it across the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he comes in and you have another resignation, you know, around, I don't know if there was much time in between Sandy becoming the head of the board.
Yeah,
and
Andy Wilson stepping down.
Another resignation, right.
Well, I'll be looking to Lanyap to fill in those pieces as the weeks go along. Rob, if folks want to do the same and sign up online, and I guess they'll get first access to those Nappy finalists when those come out. How can they do that?
That's right. You can go to lanyapmobile.com, and you can sign up. It's $1 for the first month. It's $9 a month after that, and, you know, it gives you all the news. We're printing tons of stuff that is not in the paper. So people always tell me, oh, I pick up the paper for free. Why would I want to subscribe? Like, because there's a lot more news online. Mm-hmm. We can't fit it all in the paper. So
good stuff.
We're working hard all day long.
Appreciate your time, Rob. If you see a water droplet following you down the streets of Mobile, just run. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Run as fast as you can. But we appreciate your time this morning.
He's a scary-looking creature. Right. Thanks, Rob. to the text line, 251-343-0106. Monty says, malls can still kiss my blank, and so can everyone that agreed on this nonsense.
Yeah.
That kind of feels like what I'm hearing. And
I was glad they dropped the charges on old Andy Ellsworth. That was nice.
Keep the peace a little bit.
Yeah.
Know?
I don't know.
Not create
actually,
a martyr.
We need to get him on, see how he feels about it.
Yeah.
Another texter said, lease the land under the lake? How stupid do they think the rest of us are? That's a good question. I don't know how exactly all of that works. I do remember that Chris Elliott, state senator, when we were discussing the dredging.
Yeah, and the mud dumping.
Yeah, the mud dumping. That was one of his lines of argument for slowing it down or having the state kind of put in the rules around what the Army Corps of Engineers was allowed to do with that sediment. He said, well, we own the bed.
Yeah.
You know, we don't own the water there, but we own what's under it. So I don't know. Maybe that's enough to work out in the court of law, but you know, whatever you say, the people that have been
taking their own boats out there and fishing Big Creek Lake for generations. They don't seem satisfied with this latest turn.
I wouldn't be. I mean, why would they be? 851, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
A traffic tip or your own take on the news. Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Last night on FM Talk 106.5, our guy at 6 o'clock.
Michael Berry.
Yeah, Berry had a really good take on Southern Poverty Law Center.
It was really good.
He was on a roll with it. And when you think, that was one of your three big things yesterday. That was number two, right?
Yeah.
Your top story?
We talked about it. I don't think it was one of the three big things, but it was a big part of yesterday's discussion.
It's worth it. Yeah. It's worth the
diving in?
Yeah, the segment, or to be one of the top stories. When you look at the fact that you have all these, all the way back to Charlottesville, these things that just were blamed this is how divisive it is in America right now, and these hate groups and on and on. And then you bring back, you drop back to 30,000 feet, and they're being financed by the Southern Poverty Law Center. I mean, it's absurd. They're financing the entities that they're claiming they want to eradicate. They're putting money in their pocket.
Yeah.
To create the effects of division and worse.
Yeah, and so after the Charlottesville rally, what was that, 2017?
Yeah.
And, of course, there was a death there, right?
Yep.
And but the SPLC, did you see how much their fundraising went up after that rally?
Amazing.
It went from, I think, $50 million to $157 million or
incredible.
Something like that.
I mean, what?
You had big donors like George Clooney and some of these big Hollywood stars pouring money in because these are the people fighting fascism.
Yeah.
No, those are the people that were helping to fund the fascism that they would then...
To give the appearance of fascism.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And will this story get any air? Will it breathe any air on an NBC or a CBS or an ABC? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just not at those channels enough to see.
Haven't been checking in on the national news, so I'm not sure. I'm sure Fox News has been going after him a little bit.
I would hope so.
Jeff Porcho on the way. He'll have candidate for state auditor Derek Chen on in hour number one. April Marie Fogel in hour number two. And by the way, props to April Marie. I mean, I think she sounded good on the radio, but she's been writing up some bangers for 1819 News since she joined that team. And then Will Hampson with P2 Public Affairs joining Jeff in hour number three. Hitting the text line. Let's see. Text here. So it's going to be next year before the Sandy Stimson Downtown Airport opens. I will drive to Biloxi or Pensacola. Joshua says, Big Creek Lake, stupid name, man-made. That's about as much as I care. Gardner says, so what is the answer to stopping invasive species in the lake? Well, I think the answer is to not allow other boats.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there's been some pushback on that line of thinking as well, that you've got animals, you've got all kinds of other outdoor elements that could bring that anyway. But I guess if they can slow it down. Let's see. Martin says, call the mascot from Oz, Wet Willie. That's what I said. But then Dan made a great point that the band, Wet Willie, might not enjoy
it. The band would be like, hey, you can't do that. like I say, my last personal interaction with a member of the Moths team was pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible.
I think you came in maybe a little hot. Maybe that was the problem.
No,
you
man.
Fired up. It was a bill situation. Those can get pretty pretty heated.
Well, the water bill is like, hey, it's $21 rather than $19. I mean, you know, this is not Pritchard. I mean, my water bill is pretty normal.
And Dan Yankee on that Southern Poverty Law Center story said, what's up with that no names have been released? That is interesting that for the SPLC's confidential informants that in this big announcement on the indictments, they didn't release those informants' names, but they did say the SPLC was still using them on their website as, like, these are the hateful actors you need to watch out for, as they paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to them.
Crazy. Yes, they did. See you in the morning, beginning at 6.